certain sent through a short change this past January 1st, when normally we would have a legal holiday, breakfast and shiur. Had Moshiach come by January 1st, and Asar B'Tevis would have been transformed into a yomtiv, so we certainly would have had a breakfast. It probably would have been fleshed under those circumstances, but we were not zocha. However, we're zocha to have not just a makeup, but something which should prove to be a very, very inspiring lecture, which we're going to have today. I want to thank in advance for Rabbi Avraham Yitzchak Rubin, as well as the Eastside Torah Center, which is partnering with Bialystok Shul in this endeavor, to bring Harav Daniel Yaakov Travis, the Rosh Kol on Yerushalayim, and the author of Living On, a book that was put out in, I believe, a very short period of time, I believe 8 days after the terrible events which we experienced in Harno just about 2 months ago, describing not only some of the events that took place during that terrible series of events, but lessons in Hashkafa and Emunah that we can take away from from those tragic events. My wife and I are also gratified on a personal level to be able to sponsor this morning's Shia. Leila Nishmas, my grandfather, Avram Dov, Rav Tzvi Hirsch, first yard site was yesterday. He was an individual, although he was American-born, he had a tremendous chavivos to Eretz Yisrael, traveling there frequently, and both of his children eventually made aliyah to Eretz Yisrael and are living there today, so he instilled that very, very much in his children, and certainly this should be an aliyah neshama for him. Without further ado, it's a pleasure and a privilege at this time to call upon Rabbi Travis. Messages, memories, and miracles, lessons that we should take away from the terrible events of the Harnof massacre. Harav Travis.
Thank you very much for that warm introduction. It's really an honor for me to be able to speak here on the Lower East Side. Rebbe Yashiv, like Sal said, that the last child in Tshuva Sefer, the last real Halakha Sefer which I've written, was the Igros Moshe. Here on the Lower East Side is the place of Igros Moshe, Moshe Feinstein and David Feinstein currently today, the place where Gedolim have lived and grown up, and it's a big honor for me to be able to speak here. Specifically, what I'm giving over today is messages, we'll say, from the Gedolim of Eretz Yisrael. How are we supposed to react to such a situation when such a thing happens? I'm very personally involved with the situation, and that's why I wrote a book about it, and I came here to America for 4 days to speak about the situation. One of the niftarim was my Talmud. I have here a picture of the four of them. Rabbi Talmud Levine was my Talmud in my yeshiva for 4 years. Rabbi Ari Kapinski was a close friend of mine for 25 years. Rabbi Goldberg is my relative, and Rabbi Moshe Trotsky was a Rebbe in Torah Moshe, where I learned. I was very, very close to all four of them, and getting to know them on a personal level, sometimes when you listen to the news, you see the news, and I have television, and I don't use internet, so I haven't seen how the press reported it, but apparently it was reported very graphically, a lot of pictures maybe that shouldn't have been printed, and when such a thing happens, it's very easy to get a non-Torah outlook of what happened, like in a sensational outlook to what's happened. So I'd like to try to zero you in today, which I think that really what was going on here, as all the Gedolim say, we can't second guess God. I don't know why such a thing happened. We can at least try to understand a little bit what we could take out of it and how it could be different because of it, and what's the and what's really the message of what's really going on here. I'd like to start just speaking a little bit about what happened that day. You know, we saw four great, great tzaddikim who were nifter, but there was about 30 people who were miraculously, at least 30 people who were miraculously saved. I used to daven in that minyan every single day. Right? And recently I started saying a shir in a different part of Yerushalayim. I wasn't there. And my story wasn't a single story. There were many, many people. A friend of mine, and this is a very, very important idea for tefillah, He recently went to the one of the Gedolim, Rav Israel Orbach, who's the son of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and he asked him the following question. He said, "Should I come late for davening?" Should I daven, come late for davening? If I have a chavrusa afterwards, I'm running late. Is it better to skip part of davening, skip part of the Pesukim Zimra, or should I go to another minyan and daven on time? So the Rav said, you can't skip Pesukim Zimra. Skipping Pesukim Zimra is not the right way to go. Don't skip Pesukim Zimra and go to another minyan. Right? You just heard that ruling not long ago. He comes to the shul where the massacre took place. He was a couple of minutes late for davening. He went to another shul and his life was saved. And there's also another great, the Rav, the Shmir Shabbos Gilchasoy of Norwood, his son, was told by his father, the Shmir Shabbos Gilchasoy, never come late for davening. He also came to the shul 1 minute late, and he wasn't killed. There was an old man who used to take a taxi to shul every morning. He called a very reliable taxi company. They didn't show up. He called them again. They didn't show up. Again and again, they didn't show up. And there was a reason they didn't show up. If he would have been there, very likely he would have been killed. Story after story after story of all these miraculous events, yeah, that all these people weren't killed, and they were saved from the event. So it's very clear here that these four individuals were chosen, as it were, we could say. Right? Like Talmud, Rav Kama Levine, he wasn't even davening in that shul. He came to the shul to ask a question to the Rav. He wasn't even davening there, and yet he met his end in that situation, waiting by the door. So it's clear that God's hand was here. Now, how can we understand what's going on? Before we can understand, I think we have to understand who these people were. You know, and again, the press is not going to give you an idea of that. But I'm telling you, knowing these people personally and intimately, we could almost say personally, very, very well, these people were one in 100,000. You don't meet people like this at all. You don't mean people like this, and I describe to what I mean exactly to explain. Chazal tell us, "Masai yigia ma'isav l'ma'isav osa." When will my actions get to the action of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the avos? Right? What was special about the avos? And I'd like to share with you today this Torah, what's special about the avos and how I think it relates to these individuals, and what a great loss for Israel the saints by using these four great individuals. Yes. First, I'd like to speak about Avram Avinu a little bit and connect it to one of the people who was Nifter. We all know, anyone who has children in kindergarten, who come home with a picture of Avram Avinu's tent. What did it look like? You know what Avram Avinu's tent looked like? How did it look? Four doors, right? You have the four-door tent on each side. And what does it mean, a four-door tent? It looks very, very nice. You want it to have a lot of guests. But the idea of four-door tent is that there's no wall. That a person's house is totally open to everybody, and he's a complete giver. Right? What I call giving without limits. Right? Giving without any limits. Right? And that was the midah of Avraham Avinu. We see that when he had Suda for the Malachim, when he invited the Malachim to eat, he shefted the three cows. Now, if you've ever seen the tongue of a cow, it's giant. Right? To have the tongue of a cow for a whole, you know, for one portion, you would go into a restaurant, they would serve you a tongue of a cow, you know, you would need at least 10 people to eat that. Right? But Avraham Avinu's chesed knew absolutely no limits. And we see that later on when Eliezer went to look for a wife for Avram's son Yitzchak. Right? So what's the test that he gives to Avram's future daughter-in-law? He says, you know, I'm looking for a girl, she's going to not only offer me some water, but she's going to offer my camel as well. Now you think about that for a few minutes, it sounds like this girl might have some psychological problems. Right? Here's a guy with 10 big servants. Yeah, 10 big, strong servants, right? They're all able to draw water, and you have a girl who's 3. Right? We have any 3-year-olds over here? Yeah. Any 3-year-olds? How old is this boy with the hat?
9.
He's 9, right? You can imagine, you know, somebody a third of his age carrying water for all the camels that Elias was carrying. It sounds crazy. What's going on here? Yeah. So I think the idea here behind this is that he wanted to see, does she share this midah? She shared this attribute that Avraham Avinu had of unlimited chesed. Chesed without any limits. Yeah? As long as it's possible for her to grab another chesed, she could do it, she's going to do it. And that was the midah that Avraham Avinu had. That's what they were looking for in a wife. And that was the midah of Avraham. And that's what Chazal tells us. We're supposed to strive for that level. That's what they want from us. Unlimited chesed. You know, willing to do anything for anybody. Right? You don't find that so often. Very few people, you know, I ask sometimes, I'll test the guy and say, can you do me a favor? What's the normal answer when someone does a favor? Well, maybe, you see, I'm busy, I have to run. It depends what it is, right? My Ari Kapinski, one of the Kedoshim was Nifter, Ari Kapinski, he was unlimited chesed. Whatever you ask him, can you do me a favor, he'd say, just tell me what it is. Where do I go? His roommate in yeshiva said he had a sign over his bed, take whatever you want and don't ask me first. Right? And I'll tell you how far his chesed went. Yes? He had a gemach for freezers. Now, I don't know in the Lower East Side how many gemachim there are. I'm sure there's some gemachim. People have gemachim for money. What other gemachim do they have here? Yeah? I'm sure they have gemachim for different things. Right. What else? Simcha gemach, things like that. But a gemach for freezers. Can you imagine a gemach for freezers? The first question is, it's very expensive to buy a freezer. You know, you have 25 freezers as a gemach. It's put out a large outlay there. And number two is, how do you deliver them? You still carry them on his back. You know, drag them through the streets of Har-Nof. If you're ever in Har-Nof, there's a lot of mountains there. It's not called Har-Nof for no reason. Right? The Nof, there is, but there's also Har. There's a lot of mountains there. So, he would carry these freezers around from place to place. This is not something which is humanly possible. You don't find. I don't think anywhere else in the world. Someone told me there is one in Gateshead, a freezer gemach, but they don't deliver. A freezer gemach, where a person delivers, this is a person who would unlimited chesed. I was able to be friends with him for 25 years, and he would go every single Shabbos to every kiddush in the neighborhood. Now, there's 20,000 families there in Har-Nof, right? And there's a lot of babies being born, and now we're getting second generation grandchildren. There's kiddushes all the time, maybe at least 10, 20, 30 kiddushim going on in the neighborhood. He would go to every single one that he could go to, and he would go into the kitchen, start doing, he said, I'm here, do all the work, and take care of everything. You don't find people like that in the world. This was somebody who had the need of Avraham Avinu, of unlimited chesed. Yeah? And Hashem took such a person away from us. Right? Now, most of you don't even, you know, you didn't grow up, you don't know this person. But Hashem took away somebody who was a Yochid Tzegula, in the need of chesed. He had the need of Avraham Avinu. We'll move on to Yitzchak Avinu. Yeah? Yitzchak Avinu's Mida was Avoda, right? He was put on the Mizbeach, he was offered as a korban to Hashem, right? And the Torah says about Yitzchak Avinu, he went with Siach Masada. Siach Masada, we say, Tfilah, he was always davening. His Tfilah was something which was extraordinary. In fact, it says, when Rivka saw Yitzchak, yeah, coming, right, she was riding a camel, she fell off. She couldn't believe she saw such a person and made such an imprint on her and made such an impact on her to see such a person. Yeah. Now I was zoicheh for 8 years to daven side by side by Rabbi Levine, who was one of the other harugim. I davened with him the night before he was killed, he was murdered in the kollel. And I remember looking to my right, he was davening to right, and I saw somebody who was davening the Ilei Yom Kippur with the greatest intention. It was just a regular weekday. Right? He told me he can't daven Shemona Esrei less than half an hour. Right? I mean, how long does Shacharis take? The whole Shacharis people daven half an hour, 4 minutes. That was just a Shemona Esrei. He said, I can't do it. He was so attached to tefillah, he was completely given over totally tefillah. Right? Unlimited tefillah. His tefillah was something which didn't stop when he was leaving shul. It was all the time. He was always davening. Chazal tell us about Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef had said everything he did was successful. Imagine that. Right? Go down to Wall Street. Say, I have an apron for you. I have an advice for you. You want everything matzliach. Every time you buy a stock, it'll go up. Yeah? If I could offer that, that would be pretty good. You know, I'm sure I would have some customers. Yeah. So the Gemara, the pasuk says, how do you do it? Kol sheyazim atzliach. Yosef was successful in everything, because it says Rashi says, Shem Hashem shogar b'piv. He was always davening. The Vilna Gaon says an unbelievable thing. He says, whenever you mention Hashem's name, what is Shechina? He says, mentioning Hashem's name brings Hashem there. That's how you come to be successful. And Rabbi Levine was davening all the time. He was a davening machine, you might even call it. Yeah? He was complete. I've never seen anything like it in my life. He was one in a million in tefillah. So someone one in a million in Torah, someone one in, sorry, in chesed, one in a million in tefillah, Rabbi Tversky, he was a Torah machine. It was like Yaakov Avinu. Chazal say about Yaakov Avinu, 14 years he didn't sleep. Can you imagine that? The rabbi mentioned this book, we got it out in 8 days. I didn't sleep the whole week. You can't get a book. It takes a year to put a book out. I mean, normally, I put out a few books. I'm selling them afterwards. It takes about a year to get a book out. So how do you get a book in 8 days? It's simple. You just don't sleep the whole week, you know? And a lot of tefillah also. So, Lamaisa, we see Chazal tell us, Yaakov Avinu, for 14 years, he didn't sleep. Can you imagine that? Okay, so he dozed off once in a while for a few minutes. But for 14 years, he didn't sleep. And that was Rabbi Tversky. His family said they never, ever saw him going to a bed on Shabbos. And he said, I can't sleep on Shabbos. Right? It's just, I need the time to learn. Right? Rabbi Yosef Ber Soloveitchik said he was a future Gadol HaDor. Right? And Hashem took him away from us. He took these three great individuals away from us. And the fourth one, Rabbi Goldberg, right, he was a working person, but he would, you know, the Rambam says a working person should learn 9 hours a day and work 3 hours a day. How, who would find in this generation that could do such a thing? Right? But he was able to do such a thing. He was able to organize his schedule and his life and to be somebody who could do these things. Hashem took four exceptional people away from us in one day. Right? And he only took those away. If he had taken other people, he could say maybe this, maybe that. But he picked the four exceptional, maybe most exceptional people in the entire community, maybe in the entire world. I've never met anybody in Kessel like that, like Rabbi Kavinsky. I never met anyone in Tzvila who died in such a way. I never met anyone in Torah whose Torah goes to straight flames. So why would he do such a thing? You know, now that, we're not supposed to ask that question. Right? We're not really supposed to ask that question because we know Hashem is infinitely merciful. If he does such a thing, there must be a reason for it. And what all the Gedolim have said that, and you could find that in Sfarim as well, right? Is when Hashem brings tragedies like this upon the Jewish people, it's to wake us up. Right? We have to wake us up, right? We have to realize the value of such people and realize that if it's a message to us, right? Chazal tell us everybody's supposed to strive for such a level of chesed, such a level of tefillah, such a level of Torah. We're all supposed to try to get there, right? Okay, we might not have the same drives as these great people. We have to try to get there. Okay. That's one idea I wanted to share with you. There's another idea I want to share with you, and this is primarily from my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Sternbach, the head of the Badatz in Yerushalayim. Right? He said, look, again, we can't know why such a thing happened. But one thing we can know, that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. Now people think, Sinas Chinam, what's Sinas Chinam? You know, if I go up to a guy in the middle of the street and I start screaming at him, right, and for no reason at all, that's Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam. But the truth is that in halacha, it's not really so simple. The poskim say that if even somebody you don't say hello to, you don't say good morning because you're not in such good terms with him, it's also seen as chinam. And even if you don't talk to him in shul, or you don't have a relationship with him, you don't have anything to do with him, that's also called seen as chinam. But certainly if you have a machlokus with somebody else, and it could be for a good reason. It could be you don't get along with him because once he stepped on your foot, they never apologized, and something else, that's called seen as chinam. And that's the reason we don't have a Beis HaMikdash today. Chazal revealed to us that the reason we don't have a Beis HaMikdash today is because people don't get along. Jews, one Jew doesn't get along with another Jew like we're supposed to. That's called Sinas Chinam. And Chazal tells every generation that the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt, it's because we didn't fix that. We didn't fix Sinas Chinam. Right? We didn't fix Sinas Chinam. Right? So how do we go about doing this? So the first thing we have to understand is, and I'm sure a lot of people feel that way, I also feel that way sometimes, is that maybe we're justified. Maybe we're l'shem shemayim. Right? The guy stepped on my foot, of course I'm not going to talk to him. Or he did something to me, he unjustly took some money away from me, or he did some other thing to me, so I don't like him. Right? He wasn't nice to me, he treats me very rudely. Right? So I'm justified, I'm l'shem shemayim the way I'm acting. I'll share with you a beautiful thought that Sternbach told me, I wrote it here in my book, that how do we know if somebody's l'shem shemayim or not? We see that the ultimate, at the quintessential machlokas, l'shem shemayim, is beis shamay and beis hillel. And what's the ultimate machlokas is not l'shem shemayim? That is karach v'adaso. So answer Sternbach, why wasn't karach l'shem shemayim? Right? Do you know that we say every Shabbos, we say mizmor shir liyom haShabbos, and in that parak of Tillim, we say tzadik yitamar yifrach. The Arizal says an amazing idea. If you take the last letter of Tzadik Yitamar Yifrach, what does it spell? It spells Korach. Says the Arizal, Korach will be the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi. Who will be the Kohen Gadol? No other Korach. You know, we're going to see Korach. We're going to L'Fnayef Lima, Yom Kippur. Korach was a great person. He had Ruach HaKodesh. He was a great person. Yeah? So why wasn't he L'Shem Shemayim? How can we say that L'Shem Shemayim? He wasn't L'Shem Shemayim, says Rosh Shembach, because he didn't try to end the Machlokas. Right? What shows if you really you have a fight with someone else, you got into an argument, right? They sat in your place in shul, I don't know, they did something to you, they parked their car in front of your house, I don't know, whatever people do to upset other people. Yeah? What shows if you're really l'shem shemayim? You try to end the machlokas. Moshe Rabbeinu tried to end the machlokas. He sent shluchim, he sent people to Korach to try to end it, and that shows you l'shem shemayim. If you don't try to end the machlokas, then you're not l'shem shemayim. If you try to end the machlokas, that shows l'shem shemayim. And why is that? Because we know Hashem hates machlokas. Right? If He hasn't given us a Beis HaMikdash for 2,000 years, because of Sinas Chinam, because of Machlokas, then that's, he hates it. It's disgusting. It's loathsome to him. Right? Anyone who involves himself in a Machlokas is doing so with the understanding that he's upsetting Hashem. He's upsetting Hashem. It's causing the tremendous greatest upsetness to Hashem. Right? So therefore, we said for Sternbach, after such an event, after being shaken up so much, especially the level of machlokas that exists in the world today, right? What do they say? There's, you know, a Jew has to have two shuls, one where he goes to and one where he doesn't go to, right? Why does he have a shul he doesn't go to? You know, why? Because he doesn't like this or he doesn't like that. What do you need to have a shul you don't go to for, right? Yeah, you should go to both shuls, right? Or you only go to one shul, but a shul that you don't go to, right? The Gemara says about Kamsa bar Kamsa. Al-Kamsa bar Kamsa, Nech of Yushalayim. Right? So the Maharal asks, I understand, he had a friend Kamsa. Sorry, he had enemy Kamsa. And a friend bar Kamsa. So what's wrong with the friends? He said, I understand the enemy. What's wrong with the friend? He says, because when you start having friends and enemies, that's where the problem starts. Right? Having some people are my friends and some people are my enemies. Right? It shouldn't be, everybody should be a friend. A Jew's a one mishpacha. One of my Talmidim said a beautiful idea. He said, you know, this summer in Israel, we had 5,000 bombs, missiles sent at Eretz Israel. And Baruch Hashem, only, you know, very few casualties from so many missiles being sent. Yeah, so many missiles. Hashem did miracles for the Jewish people. So when the Arabs shoot missiles, they don't check, like, you know, what nationality they're from. Are they Sephardi, Ashkenazi? You know, what type of kippahs they wear? Do they wear a strimal? They don't wear any kippah at all. They don't check these things. They just shoot to kill. You know, they're just interested in mass destruction. Right? The Klal Yisrael is one mishpacha. And in the mishpacha, you don't have fights. In the family, you don't have fights. And that's, said Rav Sternbach, that's the message here we have to take. Yeah? When this happened, all Klal Yisrael came together. There was so much money raised, and there was so much unity, and everybody felt for these people. He said, we have to try to have that, even when we don't have tragedies happen. Right? As I quoted here from Rav Zev Lev, he said, it's a sad fact that sorrows like this bring us together. That only very sad things bring us together. Right? At such times, you could see people wearing all different types of yarmulkes, people from different walks of life. Yeah? And they all somehow feel connected to one another. Right? That's the way it's supposed to be. Right? Hashem makes such things happen. He brings us together to say, this is the status quo. This is the way it should be. I want to share with you a beautiful thing here that happened to us during the Shiva. Some girls were coming around, so with some girls visiting from here at Arba, and they knocked on our door with some cake, yeah. And they had a note on this package. It said like this: "We're going through difficult days. We are dealing with the reality is not simple and scary. We, the students of Evan Shmuel Girls High School in Kiryat Arba, south of Israel, feel a part of you at this difficult time. We came to tell you, not alone in the face of terrorism in Israel. We stand with you in Jerusalem. The Jewish people care for you and stand by you. The eternal people do not fear the long road." It was such a beautiful thing. My wife and I started crying. So beautiful that people could feel such achdus, such togetherness. And why does it have to happen by four Jews being killed? It should always be like that. Klal Yisrael should always feel that achdus, right? And the way to feel that achdus is to eliminate all machlokas. Eliminate all machlokas. The Sternbach said that we must try to do everything we can to eliminate any machlokas. We said in the beginning, machlokas doesn't mean necessarily that you have to be fighting or not even talking terms with me. It means that you have to have no ill feelings, no bad feelings towards anybody. Like I've been saying the past few weeks and on the course of this trip, it means you think of anybody you don't on good terms with, call them up immediately and just be mochel them. Ask them apology, forgiveness, because this is causing the death of these people. This is causing the Beis HaMikdash not to be rebuilt. This is causing the delay of the Gula. You know, the Gemara says in Megillah, it says that Shvi'is Belchamos, Veshmin is Gula. We're in the Shemitah now. We are Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael. And Shvi'is is when Mashiach is, the Melcham is before the coming of Mashiach is supposed to take place. And we see that happening. Bombs and missiles being shot, people being killed, so many terrorist attacks have been in the past few weeks, few months. We've seen the Melchamos, right? So all we have to do now is do what we have to do to bring the Gula, which is to make peace, eliminate Sinas Chinam, right? It's not so difficult. Just think of all the people you don't get along with, call them up and just forgive them. Get it over with. Get it out of the way. I'll just tell you a story. There's two people I know fighting, who are in a fight, and one of them came to the Shiva during when these four Kedoshim were killed, and I met him. I got into his car and he said, "I'm not getting out of your car until you make up with the other person." So he didn't take me so seriously. So he started driving away. So I opened up the door. I said, "I'm jumping out of your car if you don't make up." And then so he turned around and he went back. and he tries to make up with him. But he said, this is a matter of life and death. You know, people have been killed because of this. Right? Hashem is trying to bring everybody together. He's showing this is the way it should be. Right? We have to learn to make peace with one another, and not just peace. It should be redifas Hashem. We should run after peace between fellow Jews. That's what Hashem wants from us. I think we think about how we could do this. You know, anyone who has children, who had a baby and has children, you know, when a baby cries 2-3 o'clock in the morning, the parents get up. Because when it's your own family, then you care about them. You're willing to do unlimited chesed for your own family. Right? And like we said, every Jew has to be your own family. I had this recognition. I was once in a taxi, and the taxi driver started banging his head against the wheel. I got a little nervous. You know, the driver starts banging his head against the wheel. And he told me, you know, my sister was just killed in the Ramon Cafe. Right? I said, I can't believe it. And I realized, it's because it's a sister. If we felt that every Jewish woman, every Jewish man was our brother or sister who were killed, we would have a different outlook towards everything. Right? We have to realize these are our brothers and sisters. That's the way the Gula is going to come. By having everybody as a family, recognizing that everybody's together. And this is really the message that so many Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael have said after this tragic event. And then we see what happens in France, and it continues. And Hashem is knocking on the door. As the Pasuk in Shir Hashirim says, Kol Dodi Do Fake. Hashem's knocking on the door. He's saying, this is what I want from you. I want to bring you people together. My Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Brevda, when this boy was killed in Brooklyn, Leib Kletzky, he said the same thing. He says, when a tzara happens, everybody comes together. He says, why do we need a tzara for that? Let's have everybody together even when there's no tzara. Right? This, I feel, is a major, major message that Hashem is telling us. And we in Har Nof, as the residents of Har Nof, I'll just read to you a couple of paragraphs from what Sternbach wrote. And I mean, it's almost terrifying. Here in person, it's even worse. It's even more. I just want to read to you this. You should get a feeling for what happened. I'll read to you the first. Those of us who live in Har Nof are devastated. We could feel the piercing screams of children for many hours didn't know where their parents were. Hours later, they learned the truth. Yeah? Hashem had carried out the harshest decrees on their fathers. Now he said something else. He said that the Pasuk says that if you go with Hashem, Imhalachti mi bekeri, if you go with Hashem bekeri, then I'll punish you sheva kechatoseichem. It's the Pasuk in Vayikra. I will afflict you with 7 times what you deserve for your transgressions. He said that if we look at what happened, that's definitely 7 times worse than we could possibly imagine what happened there in Har Nof. And if we don't do tshuva, if we don't fix it up, it could be 7 times worse. Plus, rachmana litzlan. I think we all have to take this to heart, and I encourage, I bought copies of this book here today, right? It's, I'm asking for a donation of $10, at least, whatever people could give, yeah? And all of it's going to the families of the victims. I have to tell you that my downstairs neighbor, Chaim Yechiel Ben Malka, I ask everyone to daven for him. He's still in a coma. He tried to fight off the Arabs, and they smashed him in the head with, he got a very, very bad blow to the head. He's been in a coma for the past 2 months. And he is having some signs of recovery, and B'zrat Hashem, he will get better, but he needs a lot of tefillahs. And all the money that's being raised for this book was completely paid for by a donor. All of it's going to help the families. But I have some of my other books I wrote here, Praying with Joy, help a person to daven better, and a couple of other things here. I leave you just on that note, right? And it's almost like I'm begging you here. I'm coming as a shliach of the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael, and I know this is a very, very chashuv community. I had a privilege to know meet a number of people from this community, and it's a very, very chashuv community. If anything, this is the one community where I feel there is achdus here, and there is everything. And dafke here in a community where there is achdus, where people are together, that's where they should strengthen even more, and that will definitely be a very, very strong force to bring the gula for Karav Mamish. So again, I ask everybody, even you have a little tiny argument with somebody, you have a little tiny fight with someone, you haven't spoken to someone for 10 years because there's something, you don't even remember what it is anymore. You know, often when it comes to machlokas, you don't even remember why it started. Right? So call that person up, call them today, ask them for mechila, because it's very, very hard for the person who's on the wrong side to ask for mechila. Ask them for mechila, and B'zrat Hashem, if we do that, we'll see the gula b'karav. We'll see a tremendous trend to Achdus and Klal Yisrael, and we'll be zocheh to Binyan Beis Hamikdash very, very quickly. Thank you very much, and you should all have a lot of hatzlacha and bracha.
Rabbi,
you can make it out. Checks can make it out the cold.